One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
They say some houses remember, etched not in stone but in silence, in shadows, in the things we try to explain away when no one's around to hear us. What if the past didn't just linger? It followed you from room to room, rearranged your belongings, touched you in the dark, and asked for nothing but your attention? Tonight, we hear from someone who never believed in ghosts, until the day she became convinced her house wasn't just haunted. It was inhabited. When she and her mother moved into their quiet new home, they thought the creaks and moans of the old wooden floors were nothing more than age. But then the books started moving. The teacups weren't where they were left, and the feeling of being watched grew heavier each night. This story isn't about blood on the walls or slamming doors. It's about something quieter, something that watches, that remembers, that waits. Our narrator came face to face with what she thought was a trespasser in her kitchen until she was shown a photo of a man who'd been dead for years, a man who had once lived in her home, a man she knows she saw. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Tony, I never thought I'd be writing something like this. If you'd told me 6 months ago that I'd be asking a podcast host about ghosts, I'd have laughed. But now, I don't even know what's real anymore. My mother and I bought the house together, our first real home. It was old, sure. Hardwood floors that creaked when you looked at them wrong. Windows that didn't quite seal and wallpaper so faded, it looked like a memory. But it was ours. In a small village like this, you don't expect much excitement. And that's exactly what we were looking for. Quiet, peace, something new. The first night, Mom had to work a night shift. She's a nurse and sometimes gets the graveyard rotation. I wasn't worried. I had my boxes, my tea, and 100 things to do to make this old place feel like home. The internet wasn't hooked up yet, and I hadn't figured out how to connect the TV, so I decided to unpack the books and maybe listen to music on my phone. The living room has built-in shelves on either side of the fireplace, heavy, dark wood. You can tell they were installed a long time ago. I remember putting 4, maybe 5 books on the left shelf before getting up to make tea in the kitchen. I wasn't gone long, 5 minutes at most, but when I came back, something had changed. The books weren't where I left them. They were on the right shelf now, not scattered or fallen, just neatly placed like someone had moved them with care. I stood there staring at them, blinking, replaying everything in my head. Did I just think I put them on the left? Maybe I was distracted. Maybe I carried them over and forgot. That was the story I told myself anyway. I picked up my tea. It had been sitting on the floor by the corner of the room, cooling while I arranged things. And noticed something else. It was half empty. I hadn't taken a sip, I'm sure of it. I remember thinking I'd let it cool first. I even remember where the steam had been rising when I first set it down. But now there was no steam. Just lukewarm tea, and half of it was gone. I tried to laugh it off. New house, tired mind, maybe I was just clumsy or distracted. I took the trash out to the bin and tried to shake it off, but as I walked back to the house, I looked up at the second floor and froze. My bedroom light was on, except I hadn't turned it on, and I was the only one home. I ran upstairs. Every room was quiet. The hallway was dark. When I opened the door to my bedroom, the light was off, not just dim, off. I flicked the switch a few times. Nothing happened. I looked around, checked the closet, under the bed, the window locks, everything. There was no one there. Still, I double-checked the rest of the house. Every door and window was locked, nothing disturbed. I even told myself it could have been the neighbors. Maybe I saw light from their window reflecting off ours. Something like that. That night, I finally crawled into bed and tried to watch something on DVD to distract myself. Something light, a comedy. I kept telling myself there had to be a logical explanation for everything. Houses make noise, people get jumpy, that's all. But then the door opened. I didn't hear footsteps, just a quiet creak as the door eased open. Then, shuffling, like the sound of bare feet brushing over carpet, and then pressure on the bed. I felt it sag beside me. Then I felt something even stranger, an arm wrapping around me gently, softly, like someone curling in beside me for comfort. It wasn't cold or menacing. It felt safe, familiar even. Naturally, I assumed it was my mom. She'd come home early, probably too tired to speak, and just climbed into bed. I smiled and whispered her name, but no one answered. I turned over, but there was no one there. My bedroom door was still halfway open. The hallway beyond it was dark. I lay frozen, listening, nothing, just the sound of my own breathing. That was the moment I knew something was off, and yet I wasn't afraid. Not really. More confused and oddly comforted in the strangest way. The next morning, I told Mom about it when she came home. She didn't say much. She listened, made a face like she wasn't sure whether to laugh or worry, and said, "Maybe I just dreamed it." That's what I thought, too, until more started happening. It wasn't big things, not yet, just little patterns, routines that weren't ours. So the kettle would whistle in the middle of the night, but the stove was cold when we checked. The next morning, there'd be two used teacups in the sink, even if neither of us had used any. The TV started turning itself on. Once it happened, while we were both sitting in the kitchen, it switched to a DVD that hadn't been in the player, one we hadn't watched in years, and still I didn't say the word, Ghost. I just kept thinking, maybe the wiring's old. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're misremembering. Then came the night I saw him. I'd been stretched out in the living room watching TV, wrapped in a blanket. I got hungry and headed to the kitchen. The lights were off, but the fridge was open. There was a man standing there, a young guy. Casual clothes, maybe early 20s. He looked at me with this blank, almost embarrassed expression. I said, "What the hell are you doing in my house?" He mumbled something, "Sorry," and ran. Straight past me, out the back door. I chased him, but when I got outside, he was gone. No footsteps on the gravel, no movement. Just empty air and an open fridge. We called the police, of course we did. They asked questions, took a report, wanted to know if anything was stolen. I told them no, nothing was taken, just a presence, a moment. A person who shouldn't have been there and then wasn't. The doors were locked, the windows were closed. We still don't know how he got in or how he got out. The next day, Mom and I needed a break from the house. We went into the village, just a little stretch of shops and a cafe near the church. The kind of place where everyone seems to know everyone else. And if you're new, you stand out. We'd barely ordered food when an older couple approached our table. The woman was wearing a knitted shawl, and the man leaned heavily on a cane. They smiled, introduced themselves, and asked where we were staying. When we told them the address, the air seemed to shift. "Oh," the woman said, "you've moved into the Carter house." I asked what that meant, and the man gave a look I'll never forget. One part sympathy, one part warning. He said they'd lived in Larkspur Hollow their entire lives and had known every family who'd passed through that home. And that's when the stories began. He said the man who built the house, Jebediah Carter, died inside it during a fire in the late 1940s. Some say it was electrical, others say it was something darker. Years later, a young woman died there giving birth. She bled out before the midwife even arrived. Then in the 80s, there was a boy, fell from the second story window. No one could explain why he was climbing it in the first place. The waitress overheard and nodded solemnly. "That house has always had trouble," she said. "Bad energy." She hesitated, then added, "But not evil. Just heavy." We didn't say a word about the man in the kitchen, and that came later when we got home and found someone else waiting for us. A woman was sitting on the front step, maybe in her 50s, worn but kind-eyed. She introduced herself as Clara, the previous owner, said she'd moved out months ago and was just checking for stray mail. We invited her in, offered her a cup of tea, and sat around the table, avoiding eye contact too long. Eventually, she asked if everything had been okay. I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to seem crazy, but Mom spoke first. "We've noticed things," she said. "Unusual things." Clara looked down at her mug, then she nodded. She told us she had a son. His name was Marcus. He'd grown up in that house, struggled with depression for years, tried therapy, medication, but nothing seemed to help. One winter evening, she came home from work and found him. He'd taken his own life in the attic. She moved out. Not long after. Couldn't bear the memories, but before she left, she said, "Strange things started happening. I never felt alone," she whispered. "Not even in the bath, especially not at night." I asked if she had any photos of Marcus. She pulled out her phone and tapped for a moment. Then she turned the screen toward me. My blood ran cold. It was him. The man in my kitchen. The same tousled hair. The same anxious smile. The same eyes that looked startled when I caught him at the fridge. I stood up, dizzy. My chest was tight. I kept thinking, no, this isn't possible. This has to be a prank, a setup. There are cameras, right? Someone's filming this. But no one laughed. No one shouted, "Gotcha!" Just silence. Clara wiped her eye and said, "I've seen him too. Once in the hallway, right where it happened." We sat for another hour sharing stories. She told us about objects moving, TV remotes vanishing and reappearing, curtains blowing when the windows were shut. But it wasn't malicious. It was like someone was trying to stay connected, not scare her, just be seen. After she left, I couldn't stop thinking about that night in bed. The warmth, the arm around me, the comfort. Was that him? I started to feel like the house wasn't just haunted, it was inhabited, still alive in some quiet way. And I stopped being afraid, slowly, not all at once. It was more like an understanding, like living with a roommate who never speaks but always watches. I started researching the deaths in the house, town hall records, old newspaper clippings, and it's all there. Names, dates, obituaries. A thread of sorrow woven through the wood and stone. We brought in a local medium, not a TV psychic, just someone a friend of Mum's recommended. She walked the rooms, closed her eyes, lit candles. But when she was done, she just shrugged. Said she felt nothing, no presence, no energy, no trace. I didn't believe her, because I feel it. Every night I feel it. The shift in temperature, the soft indentation of the mattress, the way the books never stay where I leave them. Sometimes I even find tea made in the morning, as if someone knew I'd need comfort before I woke. I don't want to use a Ouija board. That feels like inviting something I don't understand into a space that's already filled. I've tried whispering, tried thinking kind thoughts, hoping that maybe, just maybe, they hear me. I don't want them to leave. Because in some strange way, they make me feel safe. I know how that sounds, but it's the truth. If you or your listeners know a way to connect quietly, respectfully, I'd be open to it. I just don't want to stir anything up. I don't want them to go. I just want to understand it. Because I think they're still here, watching, listening, maybe waiting. Sincerely, Emily. What makes a house feel like a home? For most of us, it's the people, the warmth of shared meals, laughter in the hallways, the quiet rhythm of ordinary days. But what happens when the people are gone and something still lingers? Emily's story isn't one of terror, exactly. It's not a tale of possession or violence. It's a subtler haunting, a quiet presence woven through the routines of daily life. Books moved, tea poured, arms that embrace rather than harm. But perhaps that's what makes it so disarming. It's not the fear of what's out there. It's the realization that someone might still be here. There are those who would argue Emily's experiences are psychological, sleep paralysis, memory distortions, the effects of grief, stress, or unresolved trauma manifesting as sensory misperceptions. The arm around her at night could be a hypnagogic hallucination. The man in the kitchen, a misidentified dream image, surfacing in a moment of mental fatigue. The human brain, after all, is a pattern-seeking machine, desperate to impose order where none exists. But what if the patterns are real? If we accept even the possibility that consciousness might leave a trace, that emotional energy, particularly in places marked by intense sorrow or sudden death, can leave a kind of residue, then Emily's home may be more than wood and plaster. It may be a vessel, one that holds not just echoes of the past, but active participants. And what stands out most in her story isn't the specter in the kitchen or the unexplained light in the hallway. It's the hug, that embrace in the dark. A gesture not of menace, but of longing. A human moment, a message perhaps from someone who once lived, once hurt, and now lingers. Not to frighten, but to comfort. It's easy to dismiss what we don't understand. But stories like Emily's challenge us to ask deeper questions, not just about what ghosts are, but what we are, and what it means to be remembered. Some spirits may cry out to be heard, others may simply want to hold on. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi, and if something moved in your house while you were listening, maybe you're not as alone as you think.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.